I'd like to read in your hearing the sixth chapter of the book of St. Matthew, verses 9 through 13. As we continue our series on prayer, we've entitled Conversations with God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. It reads as follows. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The word of the Lord. I would like to begin by offering a quote. Actually, the source is unknown, but I would like to still mention it since it is not unique to myself. And it says this: no aspect of the church's life and ministry more indicates the state of her health than prayer. And nothing so displays the great need for revival in our generation. End of quote. Prayer is serious, and it is the essential business of the church. Prayer is a display of the church's determination to do God's will, God's way. It is then the lifeblood of the church and the lifeblood of each Christian who makes up the Christian church. As I mentioned last week, there is no such thing as a strong Christian or Christian leader who does not possess a strong prayer life. Our personal and individual prayer life is our own fingerprint in the kingdom. It identifies who we are. And with that being said, there is then no strong church if there is no strong, mature prayer life either. A little bit of the context, which I didn't spend much or any time with last week in my introduction. Matthew 6. This chapter could actually easily be called the how-to chapter in the Bible. The how-to chapter in the Bible, God's Word. Because in it we are taught by the Lord Jesus how to give in verses 5 through 8. How to pray in verses 9 through 13. How to fast in verses 16 through 18. And how to handle our finances in verses 19 through 24. How to deal with anxiety in verses 25 through 34. It's a manual for Christian living in synopsis, in other words. I recommend reading it regularly. I would like to begin by talking about a few of the misconceptions about prayer or praying. One is that the more often we pray about something, the more apt God is to answer us or grant our request. In other words, in the minds of some people, worry God if that's possible, until God relents or gives up in exasperation. Well, that's something that we might do, give up or in exasperation, but not God. Where I find fault in this approach to prayer is because it's saying that my goal in prayer is for God to align himself with my will and not me align my will to God's will. The goal in prayer, of course, then should be the opposite. All right, we are attempting to align ourselves with the perfect will of our sovereign God. So prayer is not the act of God affirming our wills, but it is my seeking and your seeking and then affirming God's will for us and then in obedience carrying out God's purposes in our life. A very good and perhaps even the best example of this is the example of our Lord Jesus Christ as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed as the Son of Man. According to his flesh, if it was his choice and his only, he would avoid the harsh treatment and eventual death on a cross. And he prayed as the Son of Man, Lord, let this cup, that's the martyr's cup, let it pass from me. However, he then relents and says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done in Luke 22:42. The second misconception about prayer is that it takes the place of action. Prayer takes the place of action is the second misconception I would like to mention this morning. In prayer, we are to a certain extent partnering with God. God gives us direction through prayer, making his will known to us through prayer. We gain inspiration through prayer. We find courage through prayer and encouragement in prayer. There is something then we must do with that courage and encouragement and inspiration and the revelation of God's will. We must rise from our prayers and follow God's instructions. Prayer does not take the place of action. The third misconception I would like to mention is we don't need to be persistent in prayer. Persistency in prayer is not only needed, but it is expected. We are to be persistent in prayer until God answers us. What's the whole purpose and the exercise of prayer if we never receive an answer from God? And this, of course, refers to a prayer of petition. Be persistent in prayer until we've heard from God. Number four, be careful of the answer you're expecting. In other words, we don't write the script for God and just tell God, here's what you should say to me. Here's how I want you to answer me. God's answer, the answer we should be praying for, is God's answer. It's not ours. In other words, God's answer is not always yes. Yes, you can do this. Yes, you can do that. Yes, you can have this that you're asking for. Yes, you can have the amount you're asking for. Yes, I'll grant you physical healing, and I'll do that right now. I'll give you work, and I'll give it to you right now. Looking for a spouse? No problem. I'll give that to you right now. Even though you have no job, I'll give that to you right now. You're praying for finances from known and trusted sources, but sometimes God will say no. God will say, no, that's not right for you. God may say, no, it's not the right time for you. Remember, in prayer, we're seeking God's will, not ours. Remember that we are finite. We can only see what's before us and what's behind us, our past or previous experiences. But God sees differently. God's all-seeing eye doesn't miss any details. There is nothing hidden from God. There is no hidden agenda of our adversary that God is not aware of. And God does not miss our human weaknesses or failures or frailties. God takes all of that into consideration as we pray. Why would you pray for a Dusendorf piano, a $100,000 piano, when you can't play chopsticks? A very good example of our limited spiritual vision is in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's a text that I enjoy preaching as the Lord directs me to. And it's a story of the young servant of the prophet, the man of God. Goes out one morning and he's frightened when he sees chariots and horses all around, surrounding their encampment. He was young and he was inexperienced. He rushes in and tells the prophet, essentially, we're in trouble. I'm frightened. The enemy has surrounded us. All I can see is horses and chariots. God's prophet calmly goes with him and he walks out, and what he sees is something completely different. Oh, the enemy's still there. But what he sees is a greater army of God. Chariots of fire and horsemen. And he says, those who are for us are greater than those who are against us. We have limited vision, but God sees it all. And isn't it possible in prayer that sometimes we are like that young servant of the prophet who only sees things on a limited basis, only sees the negative, doesn't fully see what God is doing in your life, the protection of God? We want God's answers and not ours in prayer. And we should pray that the Lord would help us to desire God's answers and not ours. Number five, we pray often, we pray for what we think is possible. I pray for what I think is possible. I'm careful not to ask for too much, which might be the right thing, which should be the right thing when we're praying, but I don't want to ask too much from God. I don't want my prayer to go unanswered by asking for what I really need or for what we really need as God's people or as God's church. In other words, I as well as you, we often have limited faith and limited spiritual vision, as I mentioned in the previous point. So we assume that God does also. Let me encourage you as we pray to think big and think in faith. Pray big when you pray. Ask God for what you really need, for what you really want to see God do in your life, because you really want to do God's will and fulfill God's purposes in your life. God's will then is not confined to small things. God's will is God's will. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Everything in it. Ask for what you need. Now I'd like to shift from some misconceptions and talk about expectations in prayer. The first thing I would like to say is what prayer is not. Prayer, unfortunately for some of us, is not a Hail Mary pass. And those who are not familiar with football may not understand that term. In other words, prayer is not an act of desperation. Christian prayer should not be our last option. Prayer should be our first resource. Our expectations, be that as his children, God the Father hears us. Our expectation, let me say, should be that as his children, God hears us, because God does. God always hears us when we pray. And having heard us, the only question regarding whether God will answer that prayer in the affirmative is if whether or not we are praying in the will of God, or we are praying for our will to be done. Which are we praying? When we pray to honor God, God's name, that is, when we pray for God's will to be done, when we pray with specificity, like the necessities of life, when we pray with the spirit of repentance, forgive us our debts, when we are forgiving of others and don't hold grudges as we forgive our debtors, when we acknowledge the glory and the power belongs to God and not ourselves, God indeed does hear us. Jesus was saying in Matthew 6, that's what we call the model prayer, or some say the Lord's Prayer, talk to the Father like this. We move to a conclusion. In the model prayer, we can easily see that by its content that Jesus instructs us to pray in such a way that brings glory to God the Father. Proper prayer is not asking for selfish things so that we can be assured of our Lord hearing us. Matthew 18:13 says, whatever you ask in my name or under my authority, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14:13. And what does this mean? It means that when the Father is glorified in the Son, doing the will of the Father as he answers our prayers, then we must be comforted to know that God's will for us is always, not sometimes, it is always for the good of God's children, and that's you and me. Let me repeat that. It means that when the Father is glorified in the Son, doing the will of God as he answers our prayers, then we must be comforted to know that God's will is for us, or God's will for us is always, not sometimes, always for our good, the children of God. And that's you and me. Jesus said, pray like this. Amen. Let's pray.